Blog Talk Radio. We are back live on the air here. This is May Pang talking to you live from New York, and it's a bit cloudy and it's a bit clammy, actually. I don't know. How is it down in Nashville?
Well, it's crappy down. It's crappy down here, too. The weather is it's hot, but it's muggy and buggy, and, you know, we didn't have any snow, so the ticks will be lovely this year. But, you know, it was my birthday weekend.
Yes, it was.
Yeah. Yeah, I believe the candles were seen from the International Space Station. But no, I worked, and there were 400 people at the event, so I might say that I spent my birthday with 400 guests.
Well, I guess not intimate, but, you know, great.
Hey, I ate an entire birthday cake by myself. I just want you to know I am officially now off the sugar. Okay?
Yeah,
I know,
okay.
I've said it before. Good thing I don't have a wooden nose. But,
God.
It was great. And, you know, last week, listen, for our peeps, our listeners, Blog Talk had a little hiccup, and we could not get into our studio. So we apologize for that. And our guest, Lori Larson, will be with us next week. So, and Paul Cowsill's coming the week after that.
I am excited. I'm excited. I love
know.
Paul. I love
I know.
The Cowsills.
Paul is... They are such an upbeat, fantastic group of people, still performing all these years later, sounding as good as ever. And
oh, if not better.
So,
I'm telling you, I've seen them a couple of times, and I love them dearly. And, you know, Paul knows that. And people around me, they know. I think they sound fantastic, and they are terrific.
You have a man crush. You have a man crush.
I have a man. I love that. I really do. And you know what? It's been great. I saw the Amendolas over the weekend, and you know, this coming weekend I'm appearing at I'm going to be at the Songwriters by the Sea at Monmouth University, where I'm being interviewed by a guy who's written several books. He's the dean. Dean Kenneth Womack, and he's written several books on the Beatles, and I'm getting grilled. I'll be on there.
Well, good for you. You'll be the dinner special down there.
Yeah,
well,
this is on Saturday.
That is good on you. Then you're doing another one coming up too, right?
And then I do a more, obviously, a closed one. It'll be for a class at Syracuse University. I'll be doing a Beatle class, you know. So, but this one that's coming up this Saturday, if you're down anywhere near Monmouth University, Long Branch, or you know, down in New Jersey, it's open to the public. People can come, and that's where I'm going to be. You know,
cool. The other one you'll be a visiting professor at.
Oh, yeah.
My goodness.
Yeah.
Well, you know what? It's a perfect segue into our guest today, because when our agent, Gary Raychak, shout out to Gary, sent me the information, I was like, wow. Okay. Because you're a photographer, May, you more than anyone know that capturing these little moments sometimes is just sheer luck. Sheer luck. You know, and when people can gather enough body of work with their photography to be able to write a book about it, that's pretty impressive. Mine are all blurry shots and maybe a hand stuck over the lens partially. You know, I just don't have the gifts like you guys do. But this guest today, let's see, he's photographed 6 U.S. presidents, Reagan, Ford, Johnson, Bush Sr., Carter, and Nixon. He's photographed kings and queens. The launch of Apollo 11, I really want to talk to him about that. And his celebrity list is just, forget it, it knocks your socks off. Dustin Hoffman, Betty Davis, who you know is my all-time favorite.
Well, this
Johnny
is where
Cash,
you're going to go. Yeah.
Yep, Bob Hope. And then a gentleman you might know, John Lennon. Okay?
I remember that well.
Yeah, well, we're here to talk about his love of rock and roll and how his photographs of that led him to publish his book, The Miami Pop Festival, A Photographic Experience. And without further delay, let's welcome to the show Kenneth Davidoff. Kenneth, welcome.
Yes. Hey, Ken.
Hello.
Hello.
Hi, hey. Thanks for having me on your show.
It's great to have you. I don't even know where to start with this because when you're sitting or standing or crawling or whatever you guys do behind the lens of a camera because you're always moving, do you know in that minute, I've asked May about it, do you know in that minute you've captured something?
Sometimes you get that feeling, but most of the time you're just too busy doing the job to actually think about, oh, that's the best shot, or
yes,
I really got a good one. But sometimes, you know, you do get that feeling, and then that's just an amazing feeling because you know that you've captured a moment in time that a lot of people are going to recognize in the future.
Mm-hmm.
Absolutely.
As is one of my favorite pics of May and John Lennon and Julian.
Yeah, it's a beautiful photo.
Yeah, I mean, it really is a great picture because it's if you look at it after the face value of it, it's a really happy picture. And I think it's from a time, really happy time in your life, May, right?
Oh, it was great because this was during our Christmas holiday down in 1974. And it was just absolutely crazy. We had a great time. We were spending it down there. Julian had come over and we had promised, because we were staying with in someone's apartment, actually it was Morris Levy, and he said, oh, you stay at my place, I'll stay somewhere else. And then, of course, we met other people, and they said, will you do this? And John obligingly said, yes, we'll do this. And we went down, and there'd be photographers, like as if we'd never seen one before. So, you know, it was an interesting time, and we enjoyed it. And then we went off to Disney World, John and I, and Julian, afterwards. Yep, we had a good time. And that's when we signed, when John signed the dissolution papers of the officially dissolving the Beatles.
Wow.
It was that trip. And I just saw, and I had just seen on, I guess, that program called Do You Want to Be a Millionaire or How to Be a Millionaire, whatever it is. And that was one of the questions. Where was the dissolution of the Beatles contract signed? And it's funny, if I didn't mention it in my book years ago, nobody would ever know that.
That's
so. And I have the only photo.
I learned something today.
I was going to say, I just have the only photo of John signing the contract. And that's where you said, you don't know what you're doing at that moment and whether you captured. I just captured the moment. I had no idea. I was just doing it because John said,
exactly,
take the photo. And I said, okay, fine.
Yep. It's only it's where it becomes iconic.
Yeah,
your dad really is the one that got you started, right, Ken? And tell us about your relationship with the Miami Pop Festival.
Okay. Yeah, my dad got me started. I got my first camera at 8, but it wasn't just a point-and-shoot, a brownie kind of a camera. It was more like, it was called a twin-lens reflex. And after I think about it, he was getting me ready for the camera that I really had to use when I became a professional, which was this twin-lens Rolleiflex camera. You didn't look through the lens. You had to look down into the camera, and everything was
right,
upside down and backwards. It was a wonderful experience.
Wow.
Yes.
It wasn't an easy camera to use, I'll tell you that.
Yes.
But I started working for my father when I was 17 years old, and he sent me on my first job with this Rolleiflex on a bus to take pictures of a birthday party of this poor little rich kid in Palm Beach. But all the time that I worked for my father for almost 20 years in Palm Beach. We were basically society photographers. My dad was very well known, and he had a great sense of humor, but he was always joking with me. He was always trying to pull a little prank. The first time I photographed the debutante ball, I was, you know, in a teenager, and my dad and I are standing on the ballroom floor. There's hundreds and hundreds of people. They're waiting for all these debutantes to be introduced to society. And he looks over at me and he goes, your fly's down. He just wanted me to check it right there in front of everybody. So he's always joking around. And one day he said to me, you know, tomorrow we're going to photograph John Lennon. I said, sure, Dad. Anytime you want, you know. But that was the most amazing day. And that was, what was that, 1974 December? Unbelievable.
Yes, 1974.
But
that's when it was.
Back in 1968, I heard that Jimi Hendrix was coming to Miami. And I knew I had to be there. I didn't care. I didn't know what it was all about. I just knew it was a Jimi Hendrix concert. So my car wouldn't make it, but I convinced my best friend to talk to his girlfriend, and we got her to drive us down there.
Yeah.
And when we got, this is May of 1968. It's the weather was gorgeous. It was a little windy and a little hot, as Florida is. And when I got there, I saw one policeman looking over the crowd. That was it. And the first band that was on was The Crazy World of Arthur Brown.
Oh my God.
The camera that I was talking about, it used a 12 exposure roll. And every time you ended, you had to take the roll out, put another roll in. So I was being very cautious about how much film I had and how much I had to use. So I really didn't photograph Arthur Brown. The next band up was Blue Cheer. I was a big fan of Blue Cheer, so I did take some pictures of Blue Cheer. They did the Summertime Blues, the Johnny Cochran, they covered it. And they put on an amazing show. I mean, that was like listening to heavy metal before heavy metal.
Right, exactly.
And then the Mothers of Invention were setting up and getting ready to play when I heard a helicopter. And I knew what that was about, so I took off running. And I was backstage, you know, jockeying, you know, trying to find Jimmy and get the pictures of Jimmy. And crazy enough, I had this camera bag that wasn't compartmentalized. It was more like somebody just made a leather bag, and they gave it to my dad, and I took it over. I said, I want that. And so I carried all my equipment in that, even though there were no compartments. So there's all these rolls of film, my flash, my battery for my flash. And I'm running around, and all of a sudden, backstage, some guy comes up to me, and he hands me a handful of film. He goes, I think this is yours. And I look at him, and I look at the film, and there's some exposed rolls. There's some rolls that haven't been shot yet. My film.
Uh-oh.
Wow. So
wow.
This could have been the whole Lost episode of the Miami Pop Festival, but luckily there was a good Samaritan. There was a good Samaritan in the crowd. How about that?
That is, exactly. A good Samaritan, exactly.
Can you imagine? And then as we look back, you know, Jack and I are putting this book together, and we have these backstage pictures of Jimmy, and I go, Jack, look at the bottom of this picture right there at Jimmy's feet, my film. It's documented. I'm not kidding.
That
you.
Is hilarious.
So... And the Miami Pop Festival, it turns out, multi-day rock festival. And it was promoted by Rick O'Berry, the dolphin activist, and Michael Lang. And they heard about Monterey, and they wanted to do a festival on the East Coast. They did it. At first, they thought they were going to do it at the Seminole Indian Reservation, but they wound up at Gulfstream Park, which was a racetrack in Hallandale, and it was like a turnkey operation. All they had to do was bring in some staging, and they used 18-wheeler flatbeds. So it was pretty easy to set up, and they only had a little bit of time to do it, so it worked out pretty well. And the bill, besides the Crazy World of Arthur Brown and Blue Cheer, Frank Zappa, there was Chuck Berry, John Lee Hooker, the Blues Image, and the Jimi Hendrix Experience. So it was an amazing, and it was supposed to be a two-day festival, but on the second day it rained. I think that was an omen for Michael. What do you think about that, May?
I know. I'm not, when,
but
yeah,
Eddie,
when you see that
Eddie Kramer,
rain.
Yeah, we talked to Eddie Kramer, who is the engineer for Jimmy, and
yeah,
he said
I know
that,
Eddie, yeah.
On the second day when they were leaving this festival in the rain, Jimmy wrote Rainy Day, Dream Away.
Oh, nice. Nice.
Yeah. So it was an amazing, and we thought, I photographed more than this Miami Pop Festival. I photographed another rock festival in 1969, the Palm Beach Pop Festival. And that was with the Rolling Stones as the closing act, which was pretty amazing, too, because I don't think the Rolling Stones played at any festivals. They were strictly a gig, a date at a hall or something. And then 6 days after they played Palm Beach, they did the Altamont Festival, oh. which everybody knows about that.
Oh, you're not kidding. I was already working at APCO, and that the office was just buzzing everywhere. And I was just like, oh, my God, yes. And so it was quite the scene in the office with all that going on. Absolutely. Nobody knew what to do because phones were ringing off the hook. And, you know, we're in the office and hearing only about, because we were not out on the road, only a couple of people, and it was just chaos.
Yeah. Well, and of course, we didn't have all this, you know, social media, internet stuff, so
exactly.
You only heard it by telephone, you know, or on a radio station that might be leaking the information. I mean, it was a whole different time. You know, Kenneth, May and I talk a lot with musicians and songwriters who come on our show about that period of time in music and how it's almost encapsulated as a little fairy tale that's never going to happen again.
Yeah, it's sort of like the rock and roll era. Everybody talks about the Kennedy era as being Camelot, but I think that the rock and roll era, the 60s and 70s that we went through, that was sort of our rock and roll Camelot.
Mm-hmm.
We just had the best bands, we had the best music. You know,
well,
just,
you think about it, that's what vinyl is about now, because the 70s was really the heart and soul of a lot of things, you know, and of the music business, because that's where everything started to really develop after the Beatles and the British Invasion. Now everybody was now in full gear to start taking that music, and that's where you got the Crosby, Stills, and that, you know, everything started to form after each pocket started coming, and you know, and so when you watch vinyl, it brings me back to a few memories, you know, on when I watched that, and I go, wow, and I see the characters, and I see the people they're talking about, and I said, boy, do I remember that. So yeah, it's
but
interesting.
It's crazy, you know. Jack and I have this theory that obviously people our age listen to all that rock and roll music, but then there's like a group in between, like maybe that right now are maybe 30s or 40s, and they don't even know who Jimi Hendrix or anybody. I mean, I have on my business card this picture that I took at the Miami Pop Festival of Jimi Hendrix at night. It's a beautiful photograph. And sometimes we do this little test where we'll be a shopping or something. I'll walk up to somebody and go, do you know who this is? And they'll have this, you know, quizzical look on their face, and depending upon their age, they might or might not get it. But
exactly.
You know what's strange, though, is teenagers these days, they know. You show them a picture of Jimi Hendrix, they go, wow, Jimi Hendrix?
Right.
It's amazing. This gap in between, but then the teenagers of today still know all about that kind of music for some reason. I don't understand why, but... Yeah, it's their grandparents' music, you know?
You know what it is, though, too? Now, Ken, understand that I have nothing musical. Like, May can vouch for this. I can't even hum half a tune, okay? There's nothing musical in me. But I will say this about the music from that time. It was a purer kind of music because there weren't a lot of tricks. I mean, when they performed, they had to perform. You know, there wasn't somebody sitting at a soundboard while they're there live fixing everything as they went along, you know. And I think that stands as a testament to the skill and the curiosity and the willingness to be adventuresome. But I also think that music, because May can tell you herself, John Lennon was in awe of a lot of other musicians. A lot.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, well, we all know that. I mean, because everybody, especially the older, the people that started it, you know, for him, it's the Chuck Berry, the Little Richard. And then, of course,
exactly.
a song, when it comes to songwriters, I mean, he loved the Brill Building. He loved Carole King, which I've told her, you know, songs that John loved. You know, and you think about all these different hits that back then, when we got a chance to play with a lot of them, you know, the Jeff Barry, the Barry Manns, he was in awe of them, you know? So
that's the way I think most musicians are. I mean, you can always, you can always go, who's your favorite? And they'll rattle off at least a half a dozen people that influence them.
Mm-hmm.
And that's, you know, but music is such a universal thing that that's the way it goes.
But I will tell you, though, one of the biggest thrills of his life is when we went to the American Film Institute honoring James Cagney, and there are all these amazing actors, I mean, in true, when I say the true sense of actors and actresses. You know, I'm sitting next to George Burns, and there's Mae West, and there's John Wayne, and there's Cary Grant in the room. He was fascinating because in the early days, that's what he used to watch on television, you know, was the movies, you know.
All the old
movies, black and white. Yeah, he loved that. He loved it.
Well, that I have to ask you then, Kenneth, talk to me about Bette Davis. What can you tell me about Bette Davis?
Well, when I was working for my dad, we were the hotel photographers, and we had our studio in the Breakers Hotel. That's
right.
This five-star hotel in Palm Beach. And it was very common to have celebrities staying at the hotel, and we were always tipped off by somebody in PR. And we got a tip that Bette Davis was coming to the hotel, but they weren't going to just check her in at the main check-in. They were sneaking her around the back. So I had to go to the back of the hotel and just wait, you know, with my camera. But then you have guests walking by. Who's coming? Who's going to be here? What are you here for? Blah, blah, blah. And you have to sort of, you know, just have to wait, you know, wait and see. But so Bette Davis, they bring her in the back door. And she was very, very old at this time. It wasn't like the prime of her career exactly. But it's amazing when you get in the presence of these, you know, these biggest stars of the silver screen. And you have contact with them of any kind. It's just, you know, touches your life somehow. You never forget it.
Oh,
and
my
that
gosh.
Was the way it was with her. I mean, they brought a lot of celebrities into the Breakers, and you have to sort of remain. You can't be starstruck because then they're going to walk right by you or something. You have to be on the job.
Yep. Well,
it was funny.
Also too, I think there's a difference between the kind of photography that you pursued and the kind of photography that the modern day paparazzi pursue, where they'll put a camera, you know, between your feet, shooting up between your legs. I mean, it just goes beyond what's acceptable.
Yeah, we weren't.
A boundary, you know. But, you know, we're running out of time. The book is The Miami Pop Festival, A Photographic Experience. Can they go to Amazon.com to get this book, Kenneth?
You absolutely can, Amazon.com. And there's 40 pictures in the book. There's 15 interviews.
Nice.
And you can also go on to Old Rock Photo. My website is called oldrockphoto.com. And you can buy the book there, too.
Now, you're working on one about the Palm Beach Festival, too, correct?
We will be in the very near future because we've got to get more interviews from that. As a matter of fact, I just photographed Vanilla Fudge, who jammed with Janis Joplin and Johnny Winter at the Palm Beach Pop Festival. So we've made a
friend of mine. Friends,
another contact so that we can
made
get
very good
there.
Friends with Vince Martell. He's been on our show a couple of times.
Great
He's
guy.
A real super guy. Yeah.
He is.
Wow.
He really is a great guy. I just saw
Carmine the other day. So
they were here just about 2 weeks ago.
I love them. They're fabulous and they sound just as good now as they did back then. So, you know what? People, go out there and hear some really great music when they come to your town.
That's right. That's right. You know. Go check them out.
That's right.
Well, it certainly has to be at times when you guys think about it that you were both, you know, a part of, you know, music history and, you know, continue to be. And, Kenneth, I hope you come back when you have your Palm Beach book going so you can talk to us about it then. And, you know, I love the Bette Davis story, so I thank you for, you know, digressing and giving us a little tidbit, a little taste of Bette.
Yeah. And if I come down to Florida, I'll give you a shout. Maybe we'll catch up
after
all this year.
Absolutely, Palm Beach area.
You got it.
That would be awesome.
Meanwhile,
Kenneth,
don't forget to find me on Old Rock Photo.
Oldrockphoto.com. You got it.
That's it.
Okay.
Thanks, Kenneth. Thanks for joining
us
today.
Thanks very much. You guys are great.
Take care. Bye-bye.
Take care. Good talking with you.
Yes.
You too. Oh, my gosh, May. It's like every time we have these guys on the air, you know how I am. I'm like, okay, what is the common denominator? And the common denominator is none of you really realized at that time that what you were experiencing and what you were involved in was going to become building blocks in the history of not only music but entertainment and life.
Yeah.
I mean, it's amazing. You know,
it's not because you do it. You know, it's like when I was taking these pictures, I wouldn't have thought 2 seconds, including the ones that I took of John personally. It's not something I think about. Oh, this is going to be a great shot, or this is going to be a wonderful
mm-hmm.
shot. I just did it because I thought, you know, it was an interesting pictures or the what I see of him that I don't see, that people never see of him. You know, it's how I saw it, and that's why I always write in my book, it's how you see him through my eyes. It's when, you know, when we were at home, you know, and that's what
well,
it's about.
I do think that there's a difference when someone's photographing someone that they care about or love. I think, and I'm not talking about photoshopping, I'm talking about there is something intimate about the photograph that the love translates. I do believe that. You know, like, for example, pictures that my ex-husband took of me toward the end there are not really flattering. So we can see the hate, okay? But,
okay.
but you can see that, and you can see that in the pictures that you took, especially, I think, the pictures of him and Julian, because that was such a special time, you know, and at the time, you're not thinking, oh, I'm going to put these in a book and I'm going to make money. That was not the case at all. In fact, you're
so
putting them in a book.
Away from
yeah.
It. Yeah.
Yeah. You're putting them in a book with simply your generosity and sharing them with, you know, people that you know have come to love John Lennon, you know, and,
right.
you know, that's a whole different ball game. But I really, really think that it must be weird for photographers that used to have to take pictures where they had to put film in cameras and, you know, and sometimes the film gets ruined because it got, and now they just click, 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 click. You don't even have to take anything out
I
of
know.
Your camera. It's wild, isn't it?
It is wild. And I say that. It's just crazy. But you know what? I'm just glad that I have some things to show to people and, you know,
yep.
And it was funny when my book came out and people in England saw it. They said, you know, it's pictures of John and we're not used to seeing him smile. And I said, really? And they go, no, photos in England of John, in the, you know, before me was mainly more, you know, just very staunch look and stern. And I have these other different type of pictures of him. So it was nice.
Yeah. Well, they're intimate and you can see the affection in it translates through the lens. You know,
yeah.
You know, as do the pictures I take, where I put my thumb over the lens, and you know,
that's
exactly
always a good
like
one.
That.
Yeah, I got it. So anyway,
all right. So this weekend's Monmouth.
Yes.
They give the information again in case anybody wants to.
It's Monmouth University. They can look it up, and it's an event called Songwriters by the Sea.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm being interviewed. So if you're up in, you know, around in that area, it's beautiful. I mean, you're talking Long Branch, you know, down in New Jersey, Monmouth University, down that direction. I'm getting in early on the whatever you want to call it, you know, getting by the sea early before the summertime because I may not see any. This is what I'm going to be doing. I'm going to be being interviewed, and people can ask questions, I guess.
Well,
I don't know. It'll be fun.
Spring is around the corner, and a lot of things coming up and a lot of changes, so we're really getting excited about turning a new page. And,
yes.
That's going to be our theme. So next
yes.
week we have Lori Larson, a fabulous photographer in her own right, with her astronomy pictures are phenomenal.
I can't wait.
Okay?
I love astronomy.
I know.
Oh, God.
And the week after, Paul Kousel. So,
yes,
May's man crush. But he is a sweetie pie, so I'm an arm wrestle you for him. But anyway,
yeah.
With that, the book was the Miami Pop Festival, A Photographic Experience. Our guest was Kenneth Davidoff, and wow, that's all I can say. And with that, my little darling, we're going to say
yes.
ta-ta.
Ta-ta, and I will, are we speaking? Oh, I guess.
We are. Oh, I shall
okay,
speak
so,
mm-hmm.
yes, I will talk to you next week. See you around.
That is Miss May Pang, and I'm Cynthia Nielsen, and you've been listening to Dinner Special on Blog Talk Radio. Thank you.